It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us now, as he does every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, is Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellmann's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. What's up, Baldy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's good to be with you.
What up, Baldy?
Quick question here. Let's say, you know, this show, me, Jack, Ike, we need to go to break at a certain time. And we go to break about 3 minutes later when we're supposed to because Jack won't shut up. Is that my fault for not shutting him up or his fault for not shutting up?
We got to be more disciplined than that. You got bills to pay. You need your breaks. I mean, somebody's got to cut him off.
Yeah, that's on me.
That's the discipline. You should be a fine jar. You should be a fine jar right there, you know, in front of the mics. And that's what you do. You take money out of the pockets. And pretty soon they stop talking.
Fine jar. This guy won't even give his close friends more than $100 at a wedding
right
for a gift.
Check. He's not right out of the check.
Yeah,
I take it right out of the check.
I didn't know inflation got to wedding gifts. That's not on me.
So Baldy, a lot of talk this week about defensive line not getting home or pressuring Cousins. You know, we had the issue in week one, but there was the whole field thing. But then we had it again in week two. What are you seeing there with them not having any success getting to the quarterback?
Well, they're just in the last play. I mean, you got two guys that are laid off the ball. I mean, it starts with the snap and getting off on the snap. I mean, your left end and your left defensive tackle are still in their stance when the ball's in Kirk Cousins' hands. Like, that's not good. But, you know, you have to – like, Jalen Carter, when he's out there, he's generally going to get most of the double teams, most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. That means if they're just blocking with five, like Atlanta was, you've got three guys with a one-on-one, and nobody's winning. I mean, in two games, they have – one sack from their defensive line, Milton Williams. They're not getting to the quarterback. They're not affecting the quarterback. But it really starts with winning one-on-ones, honestly. Like, everybody works on it every day. Your moves, what are you going to do? How are you going to beat these guys? Bryce has been invisible. Jalen has not looked like he did the first 12 games last year. I mean, I'd go through the whole lineup. So, they're just not winning one-on-ones up front right now.
Would you, Baldy, consider with Bryce Huff just putting him in a role that I guess that he's played the majority of his career? In other words, just make him a situational sort of pass rusher, bringing him in on passing downs. I'm wondering if that would sort of get him going. I'm just not sure how much he's committed to mentally and physically playing early on downs and run stopping downs. What would you do with him to sort of get him going?
Well, I'm with you. I know the Jets pretty good. He was a situational pass rusher there. I think he played 48% of the snaps. He's playing about that same amount now.
Yep.
He's not playing more than 50%. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm with you, Ike. Like, he was a pure situational pass rusher. Now, in New York, at least last year for sure, they had Jermaine. They had Quinnen. They had John, they had guys that could win. And so he was a benefactor. Even in the game where he played really well against the Eagles, he started playing well when Lane Johnson went out of the game, a lot of his sacks came because other guys were flushing the quarterback and he cleaned up. He has a good takeoff, but I'm with you. I think that when he's out there and he's playing the run and they're attacking him like that, it might be affecting him on third downs and passing downs where, he might be able to get in that wide nine and just, come off the edge the way he used to. But I wouldn't be opposed. I mean, you don't want to pay a guy $51 million to be a situational pass rusher, right?
Yeah.
But you also got to win games, too. So you can't worry about the check. And I'm kind of with you on that one.
Now, pass rush is one of our issues, Baldy. But as a former O-lineman yourself, and me even being a linebacker and playing at times, you got to be able to stop the run. And it seems right now that for 2 weeks, Green Bay, Atlanta has been able to run against this Eagle front. What aren't we doing from a front standpoint, whether it's the D-line with linebackers or vice versa, that we aren't doing better against the run?
Let me ask you a question, Ike. Why would any alignment on any defense have your two tackles line up in a two technique? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you be in shades? Why wouldn't you be in a one and a three?
Yeah.
Because Zach Bond is their best linebacker by far. But if you're allowing the backside guard just to cut him, because he's just got a free release. And then the tackle can just cut off your two-technique defensive tackle. Like, if he's in a one-technique, that guard can't get through to Zach Bond. All right, that's one part. The alignment looks stupid to me. All right, then the other part is, like, every defense is a gap defense, right? Right? You play with Trout. I mean, Trout was an A-gap player.
Yep.
He blew up the A-gap. He brought the axe and he blew up the A-gap. Then somebody was in the B-gap. Doc was probably in the C-gap. I mean, you just go through. Every good defense is a gap defense. Well, the Eagles are clueless right now. And there's a reason why they're giving up 6.4 yards a carry. And they've given up 14 runs of 8 yards or more. Like, their gaps are terrible. Now, that's the lineman. The lack of gap integrity, and then the tackling is atrocious. So you combine all those things, and you're the worst run defense in football. Mm. Oh, and then, by the way, if you're going to play whatever style that is, like, it'd be good if you got off blocks and didn't stay blocked.
Yeah.
So there's four bad things through the first two games right now that are, I don't know, like, it's frustrating to watch, but it's eye-popping. And I'll bet every single team in this league, including the Saints, are looking at this going, when are they going to get this fixed?
Baldy, from a the question is it a talent issue? You know, do you
or is that the scheme?
Yeah, or is it the scheme? When you are watching them, does this feel like something to you that is salvageable this season with the personnel they have currently?
I believe that every defense can be a good run defense. Like, I watch the Bears; they don't have great star players. I mean, T.J. Edwards is still the Eagles' best linebacker. Period. But they play, like, it looked like, you know, Monty Kiffin's system with Sapp and Lynch and Derek Brooks. I mean, they're in every gap. And Joe Mixon went from, you know, running for 160 yards against the Colts. He couldn't get 2 yards a carry against the Bears. Like, it's just, I mean, just play gap defense. Like, it's not that hard, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Jordan Davis, you're in the A gap. All right? All right, here comes Josh Sweat. You're in the B gap. All right, here comes Nakobe Dean. You're in the C gap. All right, somebody set the edge and let's squeeze it. Squeeze it hard, squeeze it fast, and don't give them any daylight. Like, to me, like, put blindfolds on you on Wednesday and walk through it. Like, you should be able to hit your gaps. It's just not that hard.
Got to coach them up.
Yeah. Do you want to do it? Do you want to do the job? We need somebody, because we're going to lose our minds, actually, watching them. The fact that they only gave up 22 points on Monday night.
It's actually amazing.
It's stunning. I don't even know how it happened, to be honest with you. So, Baldy, to the other side of the ball, they haven't been able... We thought this would be a game, when we were talking before the game, okay, with A.J. Brown out, we're going to see Dallas Goedert featured a little bit more, and he ended up, I think, with 3 catches, 4 targets, fewer than Britton Covey. Why do you think the Eagles have been unable, not just this year, by the way, of utilizing Dallas Goedert as much as you would think they could?
They don't look like they're really looking for him. I mean, he's got the 7 catches, but, you know, he's always been always been excellent after the catch. I mean, you could just start with just running Y stick, you know, and just getting your offense started on first down. I mean, the run game is good, but, I mean, you could just run Y stick with Goedert. And you got 6 yards, and if he breaks a tackle, he's got a first down. You could start with those basic plays. You know, it doesn't look like they're featuring him anyway, you know, in any kind of shallow crosses or any deep overs. I mean, he's a good route runner or anything down the seam. It doesn't look like they're calling his number to do any of those kind of things right now.
It actually doesn't, you know, they don't seem like they throw in the middle of the field very much, and they didn't do it last year, and I think everyone assumed that with a new coordinator in there that we would see more of that, but so far in 2 games, we just haven't seen very much of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jalen, he likes to get a real good look at what he's throwing at. He's a little bit more inclined, even with good pockets, to bail, and, you know, buy some time. He was a little bit better in the pocket. You know, the throw to Devontae for a touchdown, even the one he should have caught for a touchdown. I mean, he stayed there in the pocket and, you know, hit his open receiver. I do think there is, like, some great offenses, that's where they want, you know, greatest show on turf. You know, the Rams, I mean, all they do is attack the middle of the field. The 49ers, all they do is attack the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like that's what they're trying to do. It doesn't help that A.J.'s out, the one guy that is a real threat in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
You know, Devontae is a great route runner. He's a tough kid. He's not the biggest guy to be able to go over the middle the way, you know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You want to feature guys.
How did you like the offensive game plan Monday night? I know they got the news with AJ late in the week, and I don't know how much they had to change versus what they were anticipating. But how did you like the offense Kellen Moore ran Monday night?
They ran the ball. I mean, I thought they should have still run it. If they finished the game with a minute and 48 to go on 3rd and 3, I mean, whether Saquon catches it, or, I mean, I prefer them to run the ball. Mm-hmm. They ran the same 3 plays with Makai pulling on just a trap play inside for, 16 yards on 3 runs, in a row. I wouldn't have mind dialing up a 4th one and taking 45 seconds off the clock and giving, Kirk less time to work with. But I thought they ran the ball at times really, really well. They've got – it's the best line Saquon's ever seen, his best, biggest holes. I thought that was a good part of it. I would have liked to see, honestly, Ike, as well as they were running it, I know they've got 2 great safeties, mm-hmm. Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates. They've got 51 career interceptions between the two of them. I understand that they're very veteran, talented players. But I would like to see some play action off that run game, Ike.
Yeah.
You've got to commit to stopping that. And usually that opens things up off the play action, and we didn't really see any of that.
Well, one of the things that makes that easier is if the quarterback is under center. And,
true,
no doubt. And Jalen hasn't, I think they did it 3 or 4 snaps in the first game when it wasn't tush push. And that, just thinking back to Monday night, I honestly can't even remember him being under center. So I think that probably limits their ability to do that.
They weren't pistol. I mean, it's kind of a new formation for the Eagles. And it's a good. Nobody used the pistol formation more than the Miami Dolphins last year. They're the number one offense in football, and Tua was excellent at play action off of those run fakes and doing a lot of things from the pocket. I don't see that from the Eagles now. I'm not saying that package isn't in, but you can still run some play action out of the pistol formation, especially if you got a great back there.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of debate. You just told us that you would have liked to see him run on that 3rd down play. I totally understand that there. What did you think about the 4th down decision to kick the field goal there? Some people think Nick should have gone for it on 4th down. Some people were okay with the field goal. What'd you think?
Well, here's the thing. If you run it on 3rd and 3, okay, and I don't have – look, they scored a touchdown basically on that same play. Mm-hmm. Saquon, he just got touchdown at the 6-inch line. But I understand that call. But if you want to run it, and let's just say you run the same play with Makai pulling and Calcaterra leading, and you run that counter up the middle or, a little bit to the outsider. Let's just say you gain 2, and now you're faced with 4th and 1. You know what Nick's going to call.
Tush push.
That situation.
Yep.
You're just going to, you finish the game with a tush push. Game's going to be over. The confetti's going to fall. So I believed in that call. When I was watching the game, Mike, and I'm watching it, and I'm got the analyst hat on, I'm going, the enemy is the clock. The enemy is the time, Atlanta Falcons. And if you take 45 seconds off and then kick the field goal still, you're up 6. Like, you think about the first 2 plays that the Falcons ran. They ran a drive starter to Kyle Pitts, inbounds for 11 yards. The clock kept running. The next play was, the kid's a rookie, Quinyon. He's got to squeeze that play.
Yeah.
But Darnell Mooney does not go out of bounds, Ike.
Yep.
He stays, for some stupid reason, he stays inbounds. Like, if you start the drive with 55 seconds and you run those two plays, you're going to be down to 10 seconds left in a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're just not going to have time. And so, you know, maybe they take a deep shot, but they're not going to be able to throw two more passes and a touchdown to Drake. You're not going to be in that situation. You know, you leave them a minute and 42 seconds. It's just too much time on the clock.
Yeah.
All right, Baldy. Well, we're miserable this week, so hopefully the Saints don't score 75 points on us on Sunday, because I don't know if I could do this two straight weeks.
Well, they scored 91 in two games.
Yeah.
So, you know, they feel pretty good about themselves. So
yeah.
If the Eagles are going to, you know, if the Eagles are going to shut and quiet things down, it's a good place to go and win. You know, Ike knows better than anybody. You go down to New Orleans to win, it's an eerie place when that crowd gets quiet.
Yeah.
So, I've been down there in the playoff game. It's fun to win down there. And you can hear a whole lot of these ales that everybody's talking about right now by going down and beating a really good team.
Mm-hmm. Well, easier said than done, my friend. Easier said than done.
No doubt.
All right, Baldy. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, brother. Okay.
You bet, man.
There he is. Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, our Odyssey NFL Insider, Baldy. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
I think one time in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
I think so. 2001.
Elliot said to him it was the most intimidating place as far as a visiting stadium, the loudest place.
As a journalist?
Yeah, he's soft as cotton, so yeah, I'm sure it was intimidating.
Well, it's
to
all
him.
Relative.
A lot
I
of
guess.
Brothers and sisters down there. Yeah. Elliot probably knows what the hell to
wow.
do.
Wow!
Well, I'm just saying he's Ooh, intimidating. It's not like he was actually playing.
No, I think he was saying it was loud. Man.
Wow.
Hey, the bayou is tough, man.
Yeah, you're playing.
Believe me, I'm scared.
Playing a Kanye on Elliot here.
I rode through the Fifth Ward. It wasn't pretty.
You
man.
Don't think Elliot did?
No. But listen, we did it after the Katrina stuff.
Oh, really?
So the first year, we beat them down there in 2001. I think Brian Mitchell returned a punt or either a kickoff return.
Was Aaron Brooks the quarterback?
I think so. I think he was. I think Aaron Brooks was the quarterback. And then when I played him when I was in Atlanta.
Oh, what happened then?
We should be quiet. The first year, we played him in San Antonio.
Okay.
The Alamo Dome. Because Superdome wasn't open yet. Then I don't know what happened the following year when they reopened the Superdome.
No one remembers. Yep. Maybe the most notable play of the 2010s. Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened in that instance down there. Yeah, it's a statue out there that sort of reminds everybody of what happened
that
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, before we...
Spike has no idea what we're talking about.
Before we move
He's
on
He's not even
here,
listening right now.
No, you sent me something, and I'm looking at it. While you guys were...
No, don't tick him off now.
Yeah, well...
Wondering how long I can extend this until we go to break.
You know, I always try to make sure we do it on time when we have a guest. And Chatty Cathy over there is yammering away.
We were cooking.
What you got, big dog?
I've liked the quote from Sherrill Parker about the arena is, quote, the best financial deal ever entered into by a Philadelphia mayor for a local sports arena.
She said that herself?
Yes.
Oh, she's tooting her own horn.
Wow.
Okay. She's proud of this deal.
Yeah, $1.5 bill.
From the Sixers in a statement, we are grateful to Mayor Parker and her team for their time and diligence in evaluating our proposal and look forward to advancing the next steps with City Council.
This is going
to
be awesome.
So what do you... Never mind.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
Are upset about this or happy about it?
I think
people are happy this team is staying.
So I think generally... The people who are most upset by it are the people who are in the area who feel like their lives are going to
be
disrupted
by it, sure.
Whether you live there or whether you have a business there there were protests. You could go back and forth about who was responsible for those protests, but I think generally most people are happy they're not going to Jersey,
right.
Which, by the way, may have gotten rid of some of the irritation about not being able to go to South Philly.
Okay.
So, you know, I think maybe some suburban people who like driving to the sports arena complex, like, I don't want to drive downtown, but I really don't want to drive to Jersey. So this is better than Jersey. So maybe it feels better.
Okay.
Coming up next. Oh, yeah. Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Mm. We have a new number one, Ike.
And it's intercepted by Ike Race.
Oh. Could be. You never know. We had to take Ike out of the voting.
I tell you, put a positive play up there.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had any in there.
Me either, honestly. I looked at it. I was like, wow, that's a good one.
So that is next.
It's cold.
Thank goodness for Ike Reese.
There you go.
Yeah.
Positive one.
Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door. I was expecting another one as I was saying this. This is for Jack to prevent me. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door and get a second at half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window at 877-GO-GUIDED or visit goguida.com.
Ike Reese and Iron Man.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike.
I'd already turned him down. Yeah, I can't hear it.
He doesn't stop.